WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Some TV critics seem to have contempt for the medium, but Tom Shales says he's incurably crazy about television. Shales is the syndicated TV critic for The Washington Post. He won the 1988 Pulitzer Prize for Criticism. A collection of his columns has been published in a new book called Legends, Remembering America's Greatest Stars. They're appreciations of TV and film stars, including Fred Astaire, Jackie Gleason, Cary Grant, and Gilda Radner, written right after their deaths.
Actually, it's sort of a Polaroid of me, not to sound egocentric about it, but it's my reactions, my emotional response more than anything to the deaths of these people who I held dear, if not near. And so most, about two-thirds of the book is authentic, sort of immediate period of mourning stuff.
Mm-hmm. Of the people who you write about in Legends, who had the greatest effect on you?
It's hard to say. The first one I ever did, and we made it the first one in the book, was Bing Crosby. And why did Bing Crosby have such an effect on me? I don't know. I always admired not only his singing, I found his voice just terribly comforting and comfortable. But I liked the way he carried himself in public. I liked his jaunty, blithe kind of attitude. I loved the kidding that would go on in the Hope and Crosby pictures. I just thought he had a wonderful, apparent outlook on life. And nothing I've learned about him since, you know, has really changed that impression I have of him. That meant a lot to me. John Belushi, I remember being quite broken up. I was at home, and they called me to say he had died, and I had to drive in for the purpose of writing about him, and I was very, very sad in the car, and I had a tape in the tape player, and it just happened to be some rather mournful Welsh music, and not that John was Welsh, but it just... It just had me in a very sad way because I think one reason that John's death and Gilda's death made me so sad is that we thought of these people as stars who would be around for all of our lives. They were going to be our stars, you know, our generation, sort of our bid to have people join these legends and these semi-immortals. And when Belushi died, it was a bucket of cold water on all of our high hopes, I think.
So are you beginning to take stock of the 1980s now for a retrospective piece that you're working up to?
You know, I have the wonderful feeling I may be able to avoid that.
And, really? Would you like to?
Well, sure. I'd like to avoid work wherever it rears its ugly head. And looking at the 80s, I don't know. Why do we have to look at them? Why not just forget them altogether? I must say they're going out with a bang. I mean, what a news year this has been. It's mm-hmm. been quite spectacular. But as far as television in the 80s or the movies, it doesn't seem to me to have been a particularly auspicious decade. It's a decade of great disarray, it seems to me. And I think we're between eras here, and I'm not sure what comes next. But it's kind of a messy situation.
Tom Shales, what shows actually give you pleasure on television now?
Well, nothing gives me more pure pleasure, I suppose, than Late Night with David Letterman, which I find to be the most reliable show on TV in terms of, you know, bringing home the bacon and delivering the goods and all those other cliches. And in primetime, I think Cheers not only has held up remarkably well, but it just keeps seeming to rejuvenate itself and is still in very good shape. Probably the best sitcom on now. Murphy Brown is an up-and-comer. I like L.A. Law, even though I usually end up just getting mad because I feel they take a lot of easy, you know, Hollywood liberal answers to things. I feel I'm sometimes getting the Hollywood liberal line. But then they're capable of surprise, too. And the drama is good, the dialogue is good, and the acting is very good. What else? What else is on? And I still like Alf. Yes, Terry, I still like Alf. I still
like
get
Alf?
A kick out of that furry little creature.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, it's a great idea, and it's a funny show. And I like the idea of a wisecracking alien from outer space.
Uh-huh.
Nobody had done it before.
Now, I noticed you haven't mentioned Doogie Howser as one of the shows that you really like.
Well, it's doing rather well, you know.
It's
the surprise hit of the season.
I have to say, I think it says something about the end of the 80s that the co-creator of Hill Street Blues, where Furillo used to have to ponder the ethics of the way he'd handle all these problems in the forest, you know, that the guy who created that now created Doogie Howser, which is this bizarre fantasy show.
Well, I've always thought Boschko was a little bit overrated, and I've always thought that one of his secrets to his success... Well, now, I don't want to say a little bit overrated and make it sound like I'm dismissing him, because he made a great contribution, although we should always remember that Hill Street Blues was created by Michael Kozel and Stephen Boschko, and that L.A. Law was created by Terry Louise Fisher and Stephen Boschko. But anyway, Doogie seems to me the secret of that is lots of sex, and people like to tune in.
You don't mean sex, you mean leering.
Well, yeah, the subject of sex, not sexual depiction so much. But people love to look back upon their puberties. Not me. Of course, I'm just barely out of mine, but most people do. Wonder Years is a show that leaves me absolutely baffled by the great success of it, except that people love to get sloppily sentimental about when they were growing up. Now, I don't know. I've never looked back on my high school and junior high school years as the best years of my life, but apparently many people do.
Do you ever watch the program-length paid advertisements on TV, like Robert Vaughn hosting the Hair Loss Show or the
Yes.
Credit Card Millionaire?
It's the last stop before Has-Been Hotel, I think, for some of these people. And now that they don't have the Love Boat anymore, they all go and do these. They're called infomercials. How's that for a euphemism?
Yeah, that's great.
That's one thing the 80s have given us are these not only program-length commercials, but network-length commercials, you know, like MTV or this horrible thing, Movie Time. Is that what it's called? The Movie Time channel, where all they do all day long is plug movies interrupted by more commercials. It astounds me. Or the shopping networks. It astounds me that people will sit still for commercialism that's 100%. You know, it's just pure saturation, all commercials, all day, all night. Who would have thought that anyone could make that work?
Do you remember getting your first television?
Television set. I like to have it called a television set. I don't know why. Because I think of television as the medium. Yeah, I sure do. In fact, little Johnny Knights, who lived next door, gave away the secret. I was on my way home from the grocery store. Is this sick that I remember this now?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay,
no.
Good. Is this pathetic? And I was on my way home from the grocery store, with groceries, no doubt, and little Johnny Knights gave away the fact that we had a new RCA mahogany 14-inch console television set. And, of course, I couldn't race home fast enough. And there he was, howdy doody, in all his black and white splendor. Yes, I remember that well.
So what was your first impressions when you first watched TV in your home?
That this was a miracle, that this was the second coming, and Nirvana all rolled into one. It was wonderful, and of course kids today would think I was just out of my mind talking like this, but you have to imagine that I lived in a small town, and to me this was an electronic link to New York, and not so much to Hollywood then, but to New York and to Chicago as well, where there was some great local TV coming out, including Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, and things like that. So it was opening a world. It was opening a window to me. It was giving me access to theater, and the world of New York theater that I otherwise wouldn't only have been able to read about. And there were great things on TV in the 50s. Live drama, of course, we've all heard about that. But there were shows like Omnibus and Sunday Afternoon. Then there were not football games. There were cultural shows put on as public services by all the networks. Shows like The Seven Lively Arts and NBC Experiment in Television. Can you imagine an experiment in television? We don't have those anymore.
You're mentioning all these cultural shows. This isn't what you like now.
Let's face it. What I like now. Well, it was part of my cultural background.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, where are those shows now? You mean like on PBS? They're not the same. They're not as adventurous, I don't think.
You think so?
Yeah, Wide, Wide World. Of course, it's easier to be adventurous when a medium is brand new, granted. But, you know, Wide, Wide World, putting the camera in the roller coaster or putting the camera on the back of a horse or whatever it was, something like that was astounding then because it hadn't been done before. And television was this magic mirror.
Were there any shows that irrationally scared you? You know, they left you terrified, and looking back, you can't imagine why.
Well, no, I can't imagine why. The Honeymooners scared me as a child.
It did?
Uh-huh. The idea of a husband and wife fighting with this kind of frenzy. This didn't happen in our house, and it was shocking to me. And a little bit scary. It was in later years that I began. I liked the other parts of the Gleason show when I was a kid. I thought Reginald Van Gleason III, a guy who would look at his own mother and say, boy, are you fat. To me, that was just the height of irreverence. This was wonderful to be a wealthy playboy and you know, do exactly as you pleased. I thought that was hilarious as a kid. That just thrilled me no end. But the Honeymooners scared me a little.
So what do you have to watch today?
Well, I just watched the 2-hour return of Beauty and the Beast on CBS, which is on December 12th. Are you curious about that?
Not very.
No. Well, pardon me for mentioning it then.
No, I'm just
what might interest you, pray tell?
No,
Next week's news? I haven't seen that yet.
No, I'm just curious how much you watch each day.
Oh. Well, I watch, I try to watch one of the morning shows, like the second hour. And then I watch an old I Love Lucy rerun. And then I see who's on Donahue and who's on Oprah and who's on that other guy, Geraldo, maybe sometimes. And then I watch an old movie, maybe, or something. And then I go to work. And then I get some serious watching in.
Oh, Tom Shales, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thank you.